We've been working through a series called I Am a Church Member, and we've discussed many different ideas about what it means to be a member of the church, and not just here at Harmony, but for anyone who becomes a member of any church, really, that there's a set of expectations when somebody becomes a member of a church. And that's like with any organization. If you're a member of some type of organization, there's an expectation of skill sets or attitudes or a character or involvement or engagement to maintain. I was having breakfast with a young man that I was working through some discipleship with a couple of months ago. He regularly attends church, but he has not become a member of a church yet. And while we were walking through our process, we were reading a book together called I Will by Tom Rainer. And in the first few chapters, Tom Rainer talks about the percentage of church member attendance in any given month. And when the guy that I was working through the process of discipleship with, when he learned that on average a church member attends a worship service about 1.2 times a month, he was really confused. It was really hard for him to understand the expectations of church membership and then hear that a church member may only attend a worship service less than 2 times a month. That 1 month they may go one time, the next month they may go twice, the next month maybe back to once. And he started asking some serious questions as he was confused. He was like, how could these church members impact one another and their community around them? How could that member invite friends to go to worship too if they didn't even make it a priority themselves? And one of Rainer's lines in that book that he writes, he says, for many Christians, all other activities have become mandatory while the worship service has become an optional afterthought. I think that's so true in our lives that we get caught up on the schedule of daily life and say, I have to do, I have to do, I have to do. And then worship comes around, time to gather together to worship and praise Almighty God. And we're like, yeah, but I'm tired today. I've worked hard all week. My schedule has been busy all week. I can take this one off. And it becomes an optional afterthought. Why are so many people committed to mandatory baseball and football practices and trainings and games, but then they shirk off the responsibility of the command by God to worship together, to not neglect the body, to be together and to serve together? And this is what the rest of the world sees, right? This is what the rest of the world sees. They look at it and they say to themselves, why do I need church? Why do I need God? If so-called Christians don't need God or the church for themselves, why does it matter for me? So many American Christians, the American Christianity as we know it, have made being a church member into almost nothing but a title. It's almost nothing but a title for most people in the American Christianity culture. And it's really sad because there's so much to being a member. There's so much to it because it doesn't just mean that you're a member of Harmony Baptist, right? It also means that you're a member of the kingdom of God. Patrick's talked about the process of membership here at Harmony and that it's not just that somebody comes forward and says, I want to be a member and that's it. Like, there's a process that people walk through to become a member of God. Like, there's a salvation story, the testimony of how God rescued them out of their sin and brought them into new life. There's a talk and a conversation about expectation of engagement and involvement and how they can be a part of the movement here at Harmony, which is also a kingdom-minded movement. There's conversation on how they can be impactful in the mission and vision of making disciples of all people in all places. Like, that's a kingdom-minded thing. Like, you're not just a member of Harmony Baptist Church, but you're a member of God's family. And so it really should be an honor to be a member. And we ought to take that role very seriously because we all have important parts to play in the gospel story. We all are important to the gospel story. God chooses to use us in his gospel story here in this world. We all have intricate details. We all are intricate details of God's plan in the restoration of this world. As a chosen people of God, he gives us the gift of resurrected life and restores us back to him to be used for his glory. He gives each of us gifts in different capacities as he sees fitting, and we are to use those diverse gifts to glorify his name together. And we're called to work together with our different gifts to achieve the goal of reaching the world for the sake of the gospel. And what I pray happens today as we study God's word together is that we see that each of us have an equal part and an equal function in serving the body of Christ. We work together. We serve together. We worship together. We grow together, but we also hurt together. When we cry together, but we also laugh together. We worship together. But then we learn from each other. We help each other. We carry each other. We pray for each other. And we are to live in one accord with each other. We are to function as a body of Christ. We are to function as a healthy physical body does. And we have to have each other to do that. We need each other for that to happen. And today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 20, 21 through 26. And if you'll go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible right in front of you, in the pew in front of you. And the verses will also be on the screen. But as you turn there, I want to reiterate what Patrick has pointed out before, that this book was written by Paul to the church in Corinth because Paul had heard of the division that the church was struggling with. He wrote to them in hopes that they would come to a true worship in one accord and stay faithful to the gospel because they were struggling with pride built up in the church. They were struggling with different people thinking that they were better Christians because of different giftings and different things going on, and they were struggling, and Paul was writing to them in hopes that they would come together, worship in one accord together. And I kind of think it sounds like the capital C church. Kind of, it sounds like what the capital C church needs right now. And I think if Paul was to write a letter to the American church, it may sound very similar to what we are to read from Paul in this passage. And I know that we've got a lot to learn from Paul in this passage. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 26 together. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word you have given us. I thank you for the truth that you have given us, Father God. God, you have given us this peace in which we can know you and know your character and know your heart. And Father God, I pray as we read through it that you would reveal to us the ways in which we are to live for you and to glorify you, to exalt you, Father God. Would you help us apply the principles of this passage to our lives, Father? For it is never changing as you are never changing. Father God, how we may apply it may look a little different, but the fact that the matter is there are ideas and principles in here that were applied then that need be applied now. God, would you move in this place? Let our hearts be receptive to your words. God, would you speak into all of us this morning the way that you have spoken to me as I've studied for this morning. God, I pray that you would continue to work in all of our lives, grow us, Father, to look more like Jesus, to be more like Jesus, so that others may come to know Jesus. God, thank you for this opportunity to speak. God, uphold me in this moment. Father God, I pray that this glorifies you. God, thank you for all that you do, the love that you have for us, the way that you transform us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. See, this is a second part of a titled heading in the Bible called One Body with Many Members. If your Bible has subtitles, you would look up above verse 12 and you would see that subtitle, One Body with Many Members, or something very similar to it. And Patrick started preaching out of this subtitle last week. He started this section last week preaching about the diverse gifts. And as Paul continues this thought process of diverse gifts and being unified in them, we will look at the ideas together. But as Patrick finished his sermon last week, he said this. He said, every member has a God-ordained, vital, and necessary role to play in the effective function of the local church. It's so true. It is so true. We need each other's gifts to function as the body of Christ. Every single one of us, every member has a God-given, God-ordained, vital, and necessary role to play. He has given us gifts that we all need from one another to operate. Now, the gifts may look different. How we use them may look different, but we are to use them in a unified way to bring glory to God and reach others for the gospel's sake. We all have different gifts, and thankfully so, because we have different strengths, right? We have different weaknesses. We have different needs, and we can meet different needs. There are needs that you can meet that I cannot. There are people's lives that you can speak into that I cannot. There may be people that I can reach and speak to that you can't. There may be a strength that I have that you lack that strength and I can build you up in, but there may be something you have that I need. There may be a weakness in my life that you help me with. We need each other. We all need each other. We could not function in the capacity that we are called to if we didn't have each other and if each other wasn't playing their important and vital role in the church as members. This is why it's so important for you to take being a church member so seriously, because I need you, because they need you, and you need them, and because the people that don't know Jesus need all of us doing our part so that they can know Jesus. They can know the love of Jesus. They can experience eternity with God through your gifts and my gifts unified. Many of you have heard Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And as I studied through Scripture this week, I come across a commentator that wrote this, in the diversity of the bodily parts, he's talking about the physical body at this point, in the diversity of the bodily parts, there was a corresponding mutual dependence. Like in our body, we have different organs that have different parts and different functions, but they depend on one another. If one of these organs starts failing, the rest of the organs don't do well. There's a mutual corresponding mutual dependence, even though there's diverse body parts and functions. A person with a seemingly greater gift should not imagine that he could function alone, since a bodily member cut off from the natural body could not exist. We all understand how important feet are for walking and for running and getting us from one place to another, just for standing. And the feet can be very important, but you cut one foot off and the foot is then worthless. It cannot run by itself. It cannot walk by itself. It is important and plays a vital role on our body, but alone, separated from everybody else's gift within the body, its diverse function, it's pointless. We are called to function together and not to think that we can run this story independently. Our passage this morning, it starts off with the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts that of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. In those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. In those that are unrepresentable are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. This really started to make me think about the early church in the book of Acts, when every person that was a member of that community, every person that was a member of that church, made sure every other person was taken care of. Whatever one person had, where another person lacked, they made sure that person that lacked had what they needed. Acts 4:32, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. They were kingdom-minded. They were together, one goal in mind. And no one said anything of theirs belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. There was not one person there that had a gift that they wouldn't share with the rest of the people so that all of them could thrive. They were working together. Everyone was working together to glorify God in one accord. And this wasn't just some cute story in the book of Acts. This wasn't some just general illustration. This was an actual lifestyle of the early church. And it's so often that I think about this and that lifestyle and how far we've gotten from operating as the healthy, functional body of Christ. I think we do pretty good here at Harmony, but I'm speaking for the capital C church working together. You know, Rebecca and I were blessed to move into a new house recently, something that will fit our family of five a little bit better than our two-bedroom home we had just a little while ago. And speaking of a family of five, most people, including myself, don't realize how much stuff, a lot of it that's unneeded, how much stuff a family that size carries around with them. There's a lot of junk. And I'm thankful for the people that came alongside of us to help us in this transition. It was like a body that was all working together to get us moved in and settled in. And if it wasn't for those people, we would be nowhere close to where we are now. And we had all different types of people helping us. We had all different types of people that had different gifts. Some could do certain things and some could not do certain things. We had people that were serving out of the gift of muscles, gifts of heavy lifting. We had people that had excited energy and positive thoughts, and they gave motivation. We had people that had organizational skills, building skills, people that could take the lead on what we needed to do next so that we didn't just keep running in circles. And then we also had people that could follow instructions well from those leaders so that things were happening. We had people that went and picked up my kids from school and then brought them home. And we had other kids that would play with them so that we could continue to work to unpack boxes and put blinds up and curtains up and build beds and get things set up. We had people that would bring us food so that we didn't have to worry about in the midst of chaos inside the house, not knowing where utensils and pots and pans were or anything else like that. We didn't all have to go out to a restaurant. We had people that loved us enough to bring us food so that we had a meal there hot and ready to go. And I think about the realtors that were involved selling our old house, buying a new house, the lenders that were involved to make it happen. Like if every single part did not get taken care of, we would not be where we are now. It was like a body working together. Everybody had a part and every part was equally important. Even if you felt, if you were there and what you felt like you did was something small, know that it was equally important to me and Rebecca and we're thankful for it. We wouldn't be where we are without the body of folks that came together, unified in the goal with your diverse gifts. The body of Christ is to operate in the same way, the same mindset. Everyone using the gifts that God has given, understanding that there are no lesser gifts or greater gifts, that every gift is from God and equally good to be used to glorify Him. Every gift to be used to glorify Him. And that's precisely what happens when we use our gifts. We glorify God. As I studied, I was looking through some notes from John MacArthur, and he said, God has designed visible public gifts to have a crucial place. But equally designed and more vital to life are the hidden gifts, thus maintaining the perspective of unity. Like there are no lesser or greater gifts. No matter what you think about your gifts, they are all vital components of the body and necessary for the body to thrive for the goal that God has called us to, making disciples and reaching the lost. We're to use those gifts that God has given us, no matter if they seem small or big to us, because they're God-given. And when we use those, we equally glorify God when we use our gifts that He's given us. You know, there's a story in the book of Mark, Mark 12:41 through 44. It starts off, it says he sat down, it's talking about Jesus. He sat down opposite of the treasury and he watched people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called the disciples to him and he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those contributing to the offering box. For they contributed out of their abundance, and she contributed out of her poverty as she put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This lady only had a small amount to offer. What would seem like nothing to most people, a penny, she put in the offering box. But Jesus himself counted it more than any amount of money that the rich had put in because of her heart and her using exactly everything that God had given her. She had glorified and exalted him in a magnificent way. Such a small gift was everything. She understood that the gift that she was giving was going to go for a godly purpose. She understood that it was small, but that it was all that she had, and she would give it anyways. And for somebody, it would make the difference, because it might be everything that somebody needed to hear about Jesus Christ. And that's the same idea we have to have. No matter how big or small you think your gift may be, there's no lesser or greater value on it. You may think you have a small gift, but to somebody, your small gift may be everything to them. You may be the one person that can reach that one person, and your small gift, seemingly small gift, may be everything to them so that they know Jesus Christ and everlasting life with God. There's nothing small about that. The idea, like I said, of that story with the lady giving what seemed to be small is true as a member of the body of Christ. Some have public gifts, gifts that can easily be seen. Other gifts may not be as visible, but either way, we must use them. Just because you may have a public gift or a gift that may be seen easily, maybe visible to others, it does not take away from a person with a non-public gift. When we start to think of gifts as having tiers or levels, we can become a Pharisee of sort at times. Like what Matthew 6:5 talks about, where the Pharisee prays, and he does it in front of people loudly for his own glory, right? It's a prideful thing. I have this gift of eloquently speaking. Let me do it in front of other people. I'm going to bring glory to myself, though I'm going to make it look like I'm doing it for God. I've got this big public gift. And the Pharisees are called out. You know, it's pride, and pride is why Paul's writing this section in the first place. Right? He understood that the struggles that the church of Corinth was having was happening because of pride. Like I said earlier, I'm a better Christian than you because I have a better gift than you, and this, that, and the other. This was happening. So Paul was writing to the church of Corinth because of pride. And so if you are struggling with the idea of gifts and having greater value than other people, this passage may be directed at you. Paul might be writing to you in this passage. But you know, pride is also tied to the ones who believe that their gifts are insignificant in a way as well. For you that think that your gift is not significant, you are belittling what God has done in you and what God has given you. And know that if God does anything, whether it's breathe life into a person or bring a mosquito into the world, because God did it, they are significant. And though we all hate mosquitoes and we have no idea why they're here, and to me they're completely disgusting, to God they're significant for something. And even the things that don't have blood and heartbeats or breath, they even proclaim the glory of God. Psalm 19:1, for the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim his handiwork. And think about Romans 1:20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And I think about it, how self-righteous and prideful do we have to be to determine that our gift that God has given us is less significant than rocks and trees and yes, even mosquitoes. When we start to rate each other's gifts and our own gifts even, it brings division and tension, and the body feels it. The body starts to suffer because of it. When we put all of that aside and we use all of our different, diverse gifts that God has given us, then we bring glory in a unified way to God. We equally glorify God with our gifts, no matter seemingly how great or small. And I think this is our call to true unity in our diversity. We talk about being unified bodies, unified members of the body and all this. And I think sometimes our mindset can go to, well, we've got to think the same way. We've got to act the same way. We've got to do the same things. We've got to serve on the same. We have diverse gifts for a reason. That doesn't mean that we're not unified in the overall goal of reaching people for the gospel's sake. It doesn't mean that we're not unified in the overall goal of making disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. What it means is that we use every part of our diversity to work together, just as Patrick preached about when Paul was describing the church as a physical body last week. A body without eyes struggles. A body that's missing organs does not survive with certain organs. And, you know, I asked people last week what they thought the most important body parts were. And, of course, I get the heart quick, right? It was the heart. Heart stops working, everything's done. Like, that's, organ's important. And I get it. Then I also hear things like, you know, brain's important, right? If there's no brain function, then that's a problem. Body shuts down. It fires off signals to everywhere. But then I think about it. Like some of the lesser organs that we don't think about, the liver, kidneys. Have you ever seen anybody that has liver or kidney failure? The rest of the body starts shutting down. Like it has its own things that it does, but the rest of the body depends on it, right? Like it has its own things, but without it, like my body's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's not functioning the way it's supposed to function. It can't. When the body's not working in unity together, it suffers. When we as a body are not working in unity together, we suffer. And then even with the idea of the physical body, when I brought up the organ of our skin, which is actually your biggest organ you have and probably the most visible organ that you have, it seems to be that wasn't even a thought process. You know? And it actually is one of the most underappreciated organs of the body. There's six roles. I'm not going to go into each one of the roles, but there's six very vital roles that the skin plays for our body. And if any one of those roles goes left unchecked, we become extremely sick or could even die. It does everything from thermal regulation with our body temperature to defense from bacterial and other things, chemicals, all kind of stuff. But even with as vital that the skin is, understand this, the skin also needs the rest of the body. Have a scrape on your hand and the skin that's peeled back, not part of the body anymore, not getting the blood flow it needs or anything else, hardens and then dies and falls off, right? As vital as the skin is and as a necessity it is for the rest of our body to stay together, without the other part's functions, the skin also dies. Your diverse gifts are to bring unity in this body to make up a functional, healthy masterpiece that glorifies God. There must be unity within the body, working together in the body. Verse 26 of our passage says today, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. I talked about Rebecca and I moving recently, and Greg Crouch was there. He was there helping me at one point, with a washer and dryer, trying to get a washer and dryer in the house and upstairs. The laundry room is upstairs in this house, and that's not a fun move. We go into the house. You have to turn a corner to get to the first set of stairs, make a swing and go up another set of stairs, and then make a U-turn up top, okay? Idea is laid out great. We didn't follow through the idea great to begin with. We're trying to figure out how to get it upstairs easily, and Greg's like, you know what? I got the weight of it. I'm just going to grab it and lift it up. You control it. You got it. Keep it from banging off the walls. I got this in. You got that in. So I get on the top side, and he gets under it, and he's getting ready to just to bear all the weight. And I'm like, man, you are a good brother. Thank you. He's getting ready to bear all the weight, and he goes to lift it up. He's like, I got it. And he picks it up, and this is a top load washer. And as he leans it back and he's got it, the top loader lid smacks me in the face. And as it smacks me in the face, it busts my lip. And I'm like, Greg, that hurt, man. Put it down. So I get him. We set it down, and he even felt the struggle whenever it hit me. Like, I struggled because it hurt. But when I did that, I jarred, and of course, he's holding however heavy this thing is. And when I jar, I'm moving that weight around on him. It, you know, didn't hurt him, but it made him struggle with it, right? And so obviously, I wasn't playing my part because I was supposed to control it and got it. I wasn't doing that, obviously. So it made it hard for him, too. I wasn't doing my part. He suffered because of it, right? So we take this lid down, get that fixed and out of the way. And then what I do is I put my hands on the corners. So as we go up the stairs and turn the numerous amount of times we have to turn, I don't bang it against the walls or anything. And so we start walking up the stairs, and my hands are in between the washer and the walls. It happens, and I'm just like, well, it's better my hands. It grows back, and the walls I have to fix. So, you know, I'm feeling the struggle of that. But every time it hits, Greg is being kind of pushed back, right? So Greg's trying to lift it up. I hit a wall, and I stumble, and Greg feels the weight of it again. And so me not playing my function right is affecting Greg. Well, then Greg's getting kind of tired, and it's getting heavy on Greg, so he's trying to get it up quicker, right? He's ready to get it done and over with. There's only so fast I can walk up backwards upstairs. I can only walk up so fast forward, but backwards is a different story. And so I'm trying to guide this thing, and as Greg is pushing faster, I'm tripping over my feet, and I'm getting hurt. So if he's going too fast or too slow, it makes it difficult on me, especially if he's going too fast. And then if I'm not guiding it right and I'm bouncing off of walls, I'm making it difficult on him. But when we gather our stuff together and we're unified, we're trying to get it up there, and we say, hey, let's work this way. This is the way we're going to do it. This is the speed we need to get, and this is the way we're going to go. It works out easier. Each part affected the other part. There was only two parts. Can you imagine the amount of parts we have spiritually as gifts that we are given to work together? And we suffered together. We worked together, but we suffered together. I put more weight on him when I wasn't doing my part. He hit me in the face with a washer. But in all honesty, like, we suffered together as we worked together. When we got it to the top, you know what we did? We rejoiced together. That's what it says that we can do. When we work together and we're all in one accord and we're going together, when one member is honored, I was the one honored. Greg didn't have to be happy to be there. I was the one that got a washer upstairs. But Greg was able to rejoice too, that we got the project done. And I think that's to say the same for everybody that helped. I make light of that one instance, but everybody that was there helping, for the person that was carrying a box or unloading a box or putting books on a shelf or more books on a shelf or more books, like, there was a lot of books, but all these different things, like, we're thankful for that because you are vitally important to that process. You are part of the body working together. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. I think that everybody was there was pretty good spirits when we started to see the end coming. Everybody was rejoicing. But we're called to the same unity in Philippians 2 as well. So Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, it reads, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind and of the same love, being in full accord in one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Don't think you've got this on your own. Don't be conceited about what God's done in your life. But then for the others that think they may have a seemingly less gift, understand that God has given us all each other to be unified. Because whatever gift that you may have that you may think is small, it may be what I need to get through the day. Because some days are hard, right? This is the unity in the body that we're called to. Participating together in worship, and serving together, loving and caring for one another, striving towards the same goal, the mission and vision together. That every person is equally important, making up the unity of this body. You are important in this body. The truth of the matter, what it all comes down to, is that we need each other. Some of you may be the hands. Some may be the feet, some of you may be the brains or the mouthpiece, or even the strong arm that keeps pushing when times are tough. Some of you may be the voice of reason in the middle of chaos, which we all need you. Every part, every gift, every one of you are equally important and have equally important functions within this body. When you don't use your gift as you are called to, we all suffer because of that. But when we are all working and striving together in one accord, unified together, we are all able to rejoice. And so my final question to you today, or as we close up, my questions to you today, are you doing your part? Are you using your gifts that God has given you? Because if not, we're missing a really important part. We need you. God wants to use you. If God has given you a gift, whether you think it's great or small, God is wanting to use you for something. You are important. And as a body, we need you. And maybe you don't know what your gifting is. And Patrick had a slide up last week. It's up again. This is a spiritual gift survey. If you don't know what your spiritual gift may be, this survey may help you better understand what that gift may be. Maybe you understand what gift you have because you see the things that you enjoy to do. You just don't know how to apply it to the church mindset or to church life, if you will, in a way. You don't know how to apply it to a daily life that brings in the gospel. This survey may be able to help you understand how to use your gift in a better God-glorifying way. But I would encourage you to either scan this QR code. If it doesn't scan for you, reach out to me. I can get you a link for it. But I would encourage you to use this. I know the first time I did it a few years ago, I was encouraged to see that I had a gift of being able to teach people in Sunday school and stuff. Because there's no way that I would have ever thought that I would have stood in front of anybody to ever teach a class, let alone to be able to preach in front of a congregation. I had no idea that that was there. And as I worked through a survey, God revealed many things to me. And maybe he's wanting to do that with you today. Maybe he's wanting to speak to you in a way that says, hey, you've got this gift. It's time for you to use it. And if you are using your gifts, I'm thankful for it. We feel it here. God's moving. God's doing things. So we know people are using their gifts. But maybe somebody's here that doesn't understand what their gift is or doesn't know how to use it yet. I want you to connect with this so that you can use it. You can do what God has called you to do with it. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for this time we've been able to come together, to worship together, to praise you and exalt your name on high, Father God. I pray that you were glorified today in our praises and our worship. God, I pray that you move in this place. And God, I pray that as we have heard about the gifts that you give, how they're equally important, how they're equally vital, how we need each other, and how you choose to use us, God, I pray that we would have this excitement, this energetic, this overwhelming feeling that says, hey, I want to use what God's given me. And God, for the ones that may not know how to use it or what that is, God, I pray that they would seek out wisdom from you. The survey is nice. It is not you, though. You can use the survey, God, and I pray that many people that do the survey, they'll still seek guidance and wisdom from you on how to use their gifts. But God, I pray that we would all see everything that you've given us as something mighty, as something powerful, because it is from you. God, thank you for the truth of your word. God, help us to continue to strive in this ministry as one accord, Father God, as the same mind, as taking the same steps. But God, I pray that we all use our diverse gifts in a way that we're working together. Lord, thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.